Episode 4 of the Writing Caddy, setting. Hello, daughter.
Hello, father.
What are we talking about today?
Today we're going to talk about setting.
Fantastic.
So what is setting exactly?
I think generally speaking, setting is defined as the background to a story. So it's the time and the place.
And that has a bearing on the characters and the mood of the text, doesn't it?
Definitely, definitely. So the way the character describes the setting would reveal to the reader the mood of the character, the experience of the character, how the character is interacting with the setting.
Right.
And Meg, I suppose there's different types of settings. There's, you know, in all sorts of fiction, there's different types of settings. What sort of settings have you described?
In a broader sense, when I'm writing fantasy, it's all a completely imagined world. So the stories are set in a land called Oster. And then there's different sort of areas of that world which influence the way the characters are created around them.
Sorry, so this Land of Oster, that's in your Where book?
That's correct, okay. Yes. But in what I'm working on at the moment, which is historical fiction, I'm going from real settings. So in the first part, I'm looking at Nassau, the Bahamas, and Charleston. And in the second part, I'm looking at London. And in both of these cases, it's in the early 18th century.
And I suppose for the early 18th century, there's a lot of research involved.
So much research. And we'll talk a little bit more about research next week. But at the moment, I'm actually planning for a research trip to go to those locations and just shore up any little details and make sure that my setting is very accurately written. I am very lucky, though, because I have friends who live in the area who've I've discussed these things at length with.
And I feel that too, that to describe a setting accurately, you really need to be part of it.
I was going to say that's something that really comes across in your writing, isn't it?
Well, my first three or four novels, or whatever, were fictionalised accounts of my youth. So I've lived in those places, so I can talk about my experience of those places. The feeling of the place comes through in the writing. But in a recent piece of writing I've done, I wanted to describe some place which I'd never been. And I found about four sites on YouTube specific to that location and somebody walking through these locations, this setting, which I wouldn't be able to walk through.
Oh, wow.
So for about an hour, I suppose, I've been able to sit and walk through this location. Fantastic for the vision. And then I need to think hard about the other senses.
That's fantastic. Actually, I had to, for my work on London, because it's set in the 18th century, there are buildings and streets that are there now that weren't there then and vice versa. So I found a Google Maps of the location I was looking for, and I cross-referenced it with a map from 1720. And In all those situations, going through and working out which streets are still there and which streets the characters can walk down, how long it will take to get from point A to point B. So whilst I didn't have the visual reference there like you did with the YouTube, it's a similar thing, sort of being able to track the setting without being there yet.
And in my editing stage of my writing, I usually spend a lot of time addressing the setting.
Mm.
You talked about walking down these locations. And I, in my editing stages, I usually map out the whole piece of writing I've done, looking more specifically at the time. How long would it take this character to have gotten to here? How do I deal with this transition? What's going to happen in between these transitions? And is it of any relevance to describe it or not? How do you work out what to describe and what not to describe?
Usually I think about how it's related to the characters and how it's going to create a mood and move the plot forward. So, for example, when I'm describing the Gwythyn Valley, which is where one of my protagonists lives and where, I'm looking at things that are related to his personality, things that are related to his family life and his religion, and things that I can use as foreshadowing for later.
Fantastic. So it's not really a case of describing everything, because if you did, the novel would send people into a state of boredom.
Exactly.
You need to really pick out the specifics of a setting which will enhance the plot or the characterisation.
And actually, someone who does that really, really well is Stephen King, which it came as a bit of a surprise to me. I recently read It, which is a massive book and probably not recommended for children. But he really captures the feeling of the book and the issues of the characters through describing the town in which they live.
Right, right. So a character who's quite confident to scale a cliff would describe that cliff in a completely different way to someone who's hesitant, who has never climbed a cliff before. So you're saying the Stephen King novel, Stephen King uses that to describe his characters.
Exactly.
To describe the tone of that passage.
And also, you know, it's obviously a horror novel, so he uses the town itself to enhance elements of that horror, to make it scarier, to sort of build that suspense and tension as well.
And looking across the genres of writing, a horror story would have lots of description. Typically, the tension would build up through the description of the setting.
Exactly.
Whereas a comedy novel, the setting would be used perhaps to create a fish out of water situation where everything is funny, a character not being able to interact with the setting.
Mm.
And Meg, I suppose traditionally, a lot of writing would commence with the setting. You'd open up a book and the first chapter would be describing the setting. How do you, or where do you put your setting?
I tend to try and weave it in a little bit. I try and have the characters interacting with the setting as much as possible, because if you just throw information out at the audience, it can be a little boring, it can get everything bogged down. At the beginning of Where, there was a little more description of the setting, I think, than in later chapters. But all in all, when I can, I try and weave it in.
So do I. So usually what I do is, after my first or second or third draft, I try and delete the first few pages. I try and delete the first chapter or a lot of the first chapter and incorporate it in the second chapter. Mm. The first chapter to me gets my thoughts clear. It puts the setting in my head, and then I scrap it because the action started and then I want to weave it into the narrative.
It's also often helpful to have a character who's an outsider. So in Where, there's Lowell, who's never been to a lot of these places in the big wide world, and so a lot of things get explained to him. And then that way, it can be information about the setting can be introduced through dialogue, and you can sort of construct that so that it moves things along as well.
Oh, that's good. Very clever. Meg, sometimes the setting actually becomes a character. How do you feel about that?
I absolutely love it when that happens in a book. I especially enjoy it when it's to do with ships. Ships are my thing at the moment. I'm obsessed with pirates. And a particularly good example is in Robin Hobb with the Liveship Traders trilogy. And in that, she has the ships on which the characters sail become characters, so the figureheads actually speak. And so the physical setting the characters work around can interact with them and speak to them. And I just love it.
And I love that too, because the setting becomes some of the characters in the book through her plot.
Absolutely. It's so cleverly done. And there's other ways to do it without literally making the setting a character, aren't there?
Yeah, for example, survival stories where there's one character and they're against the environment. So there are storms and there are earthquakes and so on, where the character has to fight against the environment for their survival.
And then the environment is sort of a character, like an antagonist almost.
That's exactly right, right. Yes. So setting's actually quite an important thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I think sometimes writers don't give it enough time or enough focus. In actual fact, it paints your whole novel.
I know that I have a tendency to focus more on the characters than on the setting. I have to really make myself sit down and describe the setting and work it through. But I find it really useful. You have things like pathetic fallacy, when the weather reflects the character's emotions. And so long as the setting is important to the plot, and so long as it's important to the characters, it can really make or break a novel, I think.
Well, I suppose we could talk about setting for some time, Meg.
I think at some point we should do a world-building podcast as well.
Oh, Meg, if we did that, you would be in your element. So world-building, watch that one. Probably another one or two podcasts time, and I might leave that to Meg completely.
Oh, no.
That's it for now.
Goodbye, Father.
Goodbye, Megsy.